I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with all of the tools today.
Minus one.
R.I.P.
From the past. Gotta represent. I'll pour out some five-hour energy for him.
Give me the shotgun sound effect. Seven-shotty salute there to our fallen soldiers.
Fallen soldiers.
Guys, we have a hell of a show for you today. It's going to be a two-pot show. In the first part of the show, we're going to cover a little NFL news, got our normal trivia, and then we have a little fantasy game I prepared based off the news, and then we're going to be going over, continue our ESPN ranked the top 10 of every position in football based upon front office talent voting and whatnot. And then in the second episode, we'll be going over our special of the defensive half of position U, where we talk about the college football programs that produce the most NFL players by position. So let's hop right into it today. Obviously, we have CSPN McLaughlin.
What up, fellas?
We got Nate Nasty Parker. Oh, hello. How you do today? What's up, Nate? You sound different.
Yeah, I don't know. It was voice modulation or something. Bad connection. I don't know. How you doing today, guys?
What you eating there?
Some scrambled eggs, some ground turkey, and some yams.
Oh, ground turkey. I'm not a fan of. Not a fan of ground turkey.
I was waiting for CJ to say something as soon as he said that.
Turkey. Yeah, like, look, that's the first time I heard Woody talk about a meat that he don't like. He's like, ground. Look, that's the first time ever.
Brandon, Coach Lumberg, Coach, how you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. Probably gonna have some ground turkey tonight. Make some tacos out of it.
Don't y'all be picturing Brandon walking around with sweatpants, shorts? Up
did
to
you,
his waist.
Did you hear him? He well, said, yeah, why not?
Why not? What? Oh, ground turkey tacos? Yeah, I'm good.
99% fat free.
Yeah, we all see the Jenny O at the meat market.
I was just going to say, is it Jenny O?
Well, I mean, I like doing the ground, but sometimes it's like, I don't know. I get over it quick. What do you guys do when you make tacos?
I go to the Mexican market. And I buy some asada, some pastor. Asada and pastor.
I don't know what that is. What is it?
What?
What is that?
Carne asada?
I'm not rich. I'm not rich and white like you, Woody.
That's a Mexican market, bro.
I like carne asada.
Yeah. You never had al pastor? Really?
No.
Oh, bro, you got it. Al pastor is, it's the delicacy, dude. It's so they cook it. Pork.
Say that about everything.
Except ground turkey.
Except for ground turkey.
So it's a giant spit roast of a pork that they season and they drop juices over it while it's cooking and they put it on. You know how they cook like giant falafel roast meat? Today. You know how they cook falafel meat?
Falafels.
You don't know
isn't
what
that like a carnival food?
Or a gyro? You know what a gyro? That's a lot of people.
I know
call
what
it.
That is. I've seen it.
Yeah. So how they cook that meat, but with
that's
pork, and then they season it, and it's real juicy, and they put pineapple on top of it in the taco. Oh my god, bro, it's so
it's
good.
The West Coast shit, of course. I knew it was gonna be
it's,
something. Some
it's Mexican
something
shit.
On top
is
of
that
it.
Why you missed the show yesterday? You ate some of that. Came out both ends.
Oh, y'all need some culture in your lives. Anyway.
Well, the culture came out your mouth and your ass yesterday.
Oh,
no, it's
Taco
the show.
Bell. There ain't no culture in Taco Bell. That's you're an
there's
adulterated
a little culture
diary.
In Taco Bell.
No, it's not. No,
Taco not. Bell is cultural appropriation.
Yeah, it is.
Woody, you might as well have eaten X-Lax.
You think they have Doritos Locos Tacos in Mexico?
Hey, Woody, I never thought I'd ever say this, but you're looking a little slim today.
Thanks, bud.
No problem.
Did you know they don't have burritos in Mexico? It's not like a Mexican thing.
Not.
Yeah. Burritos is an American Mexican dish.
Did you go to Mexico one day and try to get a burrito and they looked at you funny?
I would like
what?
To have a burrito. They're like,
what? It's like a well-known thing out here.
Word up.
All right. Let's dive right into the news, boys. So we have some bad news in real life and extremely bad news in fantasy. Happy trails, Cam Akers. I recovered fine. Cam Akers blew out his Achilles and will be done.
Hey, look, wait, Woody, I'm sorry. I can't.
The announcement made the same
I'm
day
laughing.
As Woody.
Yeah, and I can't have people thinking I'm laughing at Cam Akers because he got hurt. I'm laughing because you had him on your fantasy team. So I
Cam Akers, yeah. I was super excited. He was going to be my third round keeper this year. I was super amped for it. And, you know, it didn't work out. Yep, pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah, but I recovered well for you listeners out there. I went out there and did a slight swapping of draft picks for David Montgomery as a keeper in the fourth, so I think I'll be all right. I like David Montgomery as a keeper in the fourth.
Not bad.
Actually, you know what? I had a good stat. Well, yeah, so Cam Akers, how do we think this affects the Rams season? And then how do you think this affects the fantasy of the Rams running back position? Because as we know, Rams were second last year in red zone rush attempts. So there's a lot on the line here. Is Henderson going to be? And one thing I was looking at, what does this do for Darrell Henderson Jr.? Because Darrell Henderson Jr., as we've seen by Matthew Stafford in the past, a la Reddick and Reggie Bush, Stafford loves hitting that back out of the backfield a lot more than Jared Goff did. So Henderson bringing that skill set, and we saw him have some big games last year when it was just him and Malcolm Brown was out and Cam Akers was out. Is this his year?
I don't think.
I don't want any part of the Rams' backfield. I think they should go re-sign Todd Gurley.
Second most red zone rushing.
You really think that? Really think they should go re-sign Todd Gurley?
He thinks that because he's got Todd Gurley in one of the fantasy leagues.
No, I think they should. No. Here's my thinking.
Thinking?
They need a second running back. Why not kick the wheels on Todd Gurley? He didn't do terrible in Atlanta last year. They can get him cheap.
Terrible. That's a terrible idea. Terrible idea.
I think that they're going to go committee with who they have.
Agree.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure they are.
I don't think there's a...
Henderson will lead the way.
There's not a talented guy in that backfield right now. I mean, Darrell Henderson is pretty good. I don't hate him. But obviously, we know how the Rams feel about him because after drafting him, they went and got Cam Akers a year later, right? And Cam Akers, by all means, appeared to be ultra talented and appeared to be an ascending player. I think, like Brandon said, I think it's going to be a committee approach. I don't think anyone will seize the day. I don't think it'll be, you know, any carpe diem in the Rams backfield this season. I don't think they have a 1,000-yard rusher. I think as a team, they're in top 10 in the NFL in rushing. But I don't think they'll have any one guy.
Okay. So do you see 1,500 all-purpose yards for Darrell Henderson Jr.? Is that a realistic amount?
Absolutely not.
That's just what I'm seeing.
That's his ceiling. But I don't –
That's a big number.
That's a big number.
1,500 total yards. I don't think he has.
You think
it's
1,000 on the ground, 500 in the air? You think it's 750?
No, I think it was more like 900 on the ground, 600 in the air.
No.
I mean, he's going to be the lead. He's going to be the lead, but I do think it will be a committee more so, like CJ said. Their backup right now on the depth chart is Xavier Jones. Do you think fantasy players should run out and add this man in, like, dynasty leagues? Or do you think that someone will emerge from free agency?
I don't know who he is. So, look, honestly, let's talk fantasy real quick. One of the number one mistakes that some fantasy players make, what some fantasy owners make, is to run out there and just just grab that guy.
Yeah, like, just blow your wad on the backup, because a lot of times he's not going to fill that hole.
Yeah, because if you got 16 roster spots and you go out there and you drop whatever for that guy on the waiver wire, and then you get him, and then week 17 you're looking at him and he's had, you know, 300 rush yards through 16 games and he has 3 touchdowns, then what? You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, no, that's real. Now here's a list of guys. My our buddy Dev, shout out, actually posted this in one of our fantasy chats of guys coming back from Achilles injuries, and I found it very telling. It was funny because a couple of these guys, I was like, yo, whatever happened to this guy? And then this list explains that. So Lendale White, USC beast, never got any shine because Reggie was so amazing. He actually blew his Achilles. And then he was out of the league. He never came back.
Yeah, his was due to weight, though. He was probably...
Yeah, he turned into a thick boy when he came in the league, yeah.
He was borderline thick already, but, you know, yeah. He was a cheeseburger.
Andre Brown never came back. Mika LaShore, Ernest Graham, Kendall Hunter, he never came back. Beanie Wells, turf toe in 2012, Achilles in 2013, never played again.
I mean, he made a lot of money at Ohio State, so.
I feel like we did a little bit of this. I feel like Richard Sherman is the one most recently to rupture his Achilles and come back and play.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah.
The way he hit that door,
who?
Showed good leverage. Richard
Sherman.
Yeah.
Richard Sherman. Oh, and also, thank you, Steve Smith as well.
Oh, Steve Smith.
Oh, you're right. But
those are the outliers. I mean.
Steve Smith was a freak.
Quite a few outliers there.
McKnight.
The percentage, yeah.
He was out of the league, ruptured Achilles 2014, then he ran in.
To Whatever happened trouble. To him?
Didn't he get in, like, a standoff with the cops or something when he got pulled over?
Oh, no. He was down in Louisiana, and that dude during, like, road rage, I think he shot him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Arian Foster. He got cut midseason out of the league after he didn't come back. That was a shame. Arian Foster was a beast.
How old was he? Right?
How old was he though?
He was 29.
Oh. Pff.
Brandon's Deion's like, oh, they were about to throw him away. Anyways.
Well, no, Brandon's actually got a good point because this is a good age if it was going to happen. For it to happen, because he, the 23-year-old body, bounces back a lot better.
I don't know. I'd rather blow my Achilles at 29. You know why? Because this 60 is in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true.
You got paid.
Deontay Foreman, one of the more recent ones.
CJ mentioned him.
He's the shell of the player he was.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? The joke you made, Woody, about Richard Sherman running through a door?
Yeah.
Pretty sure Brandon or CJ made that joke very recently as well. Right after I referenced Richard Sherman.
Yesterday. I said he hit it like a blocking sled. It was impressive. I was like, damn. I was like, there's some NFL real hitting right there on that door. That's really sad news about Richard Sherman. I hope he gets through whatever he's going through, man. No, I'm serious, bro. Anyone's mental health?
Little tangent. Yeah. He's a free agent currently, right?
Yeah. Someone will bring it in.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Look, if someone doesn't bring him in, it's okay. He's a millionaire. So.
Yeah. No.
It's not the end of the world. Look, I'm pulling for these guys.
Yeah.
If Richard Sherman ends up in Congress, it would not surprise me.
Yo, it was a low key flex though when his wife was like, "Yeah, he's getting the keys. He's driving off in his Phantom." I was like, "Damn, he's got a Phantom." Damn. Isaiah Crowell out the league. And Marlon Mack. We'll see this year how he bounces back.
Oh, I forgot about that week one.
That's a crowded backfield though. I don't know how much we'll see from Marlon Mack. Like, they already got Jonathan Taylor and Hines.
I did trade Jonathan Taylor last year.
He did. It's okay. It worked out for you this year.
He's done.
Nah, I don't think he's done. I think that he's gonna eat into Taylor's.
I think that's the right call as long as he's healthy.
I think
he's ready.
Why would you put Marlon Mack, who's 3 yards and a cloud of dust, away for a dude who rushed for 200 yards twice in the second half of last season just doesn't make sense.
Well, Marlon Mack was actually, he was off and running, wasn't he, last, the year before?
No, he went over 1,000 yards.
He was look, like
Marlon Mack. I think he's a good player, but
I think that those 200-yard games, if I'm not mistaken, happened against the Texans, right? Am I wrong?
It was against some pretty really shisty run defenses. It's but
still
here's
200-yard game.
I could have ran for 200 yards.
I could have at least got 25 yards
as far as like
on 30 carries. As far as
eight Achilles injuries, the ACL MCL injury. A decade, 2 decades ago, was nearly a career ender. Now you tear your ACL or MCL, it's expected that you're going to come back. You're going to be healthy.
Okay.
The Achilles is not like that yet.
All right. Well, let's move this over to a fantasy segment that involves. Is there anything left in news? Aaron Rodgers nixed his deal to be top paid quarterback. In the NFL, this means Aaron Rodgers is there. He's going to be playing this year, but they have like a handshake agreement. He'll be out next year. You guys,
I mean, is he under contract next year? They'd have to release him, right?
They're going to trade him.
It's getting ugly, man. It's, you know what? It's, I've kind of been on like a pendulum, because when this stuff first started, I'm like, okay. Aaron Rodgers has the power. And then I was like, Green Bay has the power. But now training camp right around the corner, and it's like, Green Bay just need to move him. I don't know, but I think Aaron Rodgers has the power right now. I mean,
they really underestimate like how little he gives a fuck.
Well, it depends on what lens you view it from also, because look, Aaron Rodgers is 37. He's not getting any younger. He's in his prime.
Can't afford to take a year off either.
He's in great, exactly. And he's, whether we want to talk about him needing another receiver, this, that, and the third, fact is he's been on the doorstep. He's been knocking at the door the last 2 years of a championship. And now you're going to take a year off when your window is closing? Like, the window don't get, it doesn't open more when you're 37. Unless your name's Tom Brady.
Yeah. No, that's true. So let's take a look at and Fred Warner, of course, gets a 5-year extension from the 49ers. We all saw that coming. He's a top 5 linebacker in the NFL.
How much was that deal? Let's
take $19 million, I think, a year.
Per year.
And he is considered the highest paid inside linebacker now.
I mean, he's up there
in NFL history. That's $100 million for an inside backer. Man.
He's a top 5 linebacker in the NFL. No, he's really good. Dog. And it's who's there?
I heard he's so good because he's still a virgin.
Oh, really?
Well, you know, BYU, you know, the Mormons. He played at BYU.
Yeah, now he's got multiple wives. Fred Warner. Who's the 49ers linebacker scout, man? They just crush the linebacker game. You got Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis. Now we got Fred Warner. And who's the other guy? Dre Greenlaw? He's pretty nasty, too, as a coverage linebacker.
Yeah.
And none of them were high picks except Willis, right? Navarro Bowman, I think, was a second rounder. Where was Warner taken?
I don't know. I think he was, I'm not sure.
Greenlaw was like a fourth or fifth rounder.
Hey, they've done a good job as an organization, but that's probably a couple, two or three different regimes, I would assume. Because I know when Willis first got there, I think Singletary was actually the linebacker's coach. Then he became the head coach. Then after he left, I know Harbaugh got there. And then Harbaugh, I think, is responsible for Navarro Bowman. I mean, I'm not sure. But they have had, you know, some really good linebackers there.
Okay. All right, guys. So let's move on to with Cam Akers' injury, we're going to play a little game. This is very similar. Other podcasts have done that too. But I want to start ramping up our fantasy coverage going into next season. All right, we're going to play a little game of Would You Rather for the future fantasy season, just because with Cam Akers' injury, he was going as the number 11 back, I believe, on average in ESPN standards, so a second-round pick, very high second-round pick. There's a lot of potential there. Not everyone's a believer in Daryl Henderson Jr., as you heard the tool say earlier, and so we're going to play a little game of Would You Rather. So Would You Rather have... In a 12-team half-point perception league, Miles Sanders or Daryl Henderson Jr.?
Miles Sanders.
Miles Sanders.
I would take Daryl Henderson Jr. or Miles Sanders, but that has a lot more to do with I'm just not a Miles Sanders believer as a bet, like a bell cow. I'll take the red zone touches. Would you rather have Chris Carson or Daryl Henderson Jr.?
Chris Carson. Chris
Carson. Minus the fumbles.
Chris Carson too.
CJ.
Yeah, this is where it starts getting real.
Carson.
Josh Jacobs or Daryl Henderson Jr.? They just brought in Kenyon Drake. Josh Jacobs has been going progressively downhill his first two seasons.
I don't disagree with that take, but Josh Jacobs is a better running back. I'll take the talent that he has, even with Kenyon Drake in the backfield.
Yeah, same.
Daryl Henderson Jr. went off on a couple games last year, big games.
CJ
brought this point up as well. Like, if the Rams really believed in Daryl Henderson Jr., they wouldn't have gone out and gotten Cam Akers.
This is true, but he had a bad rookie year. So his second year, he looked a lot better. Now this is where he's ranked right now, the adjusted rankings for him. So David Montgomery or Daryl Henderson Jr.? I'm going David Montgomery there. I like David Montgomery a lot, but I also think he moves up. He'll be more valuable than a fourth round pick.
Yeah, and David Montgomery easily.
Yeah, I think David Montgomery is the right call there.
Okay, so these are the ones right here that we're looking at. Then Miles Gaskin or Daryl Henderson?
Miles Gaskin.
I'm Henderson all day on that one.
I love Miles Gaskin.
I think I'd go Gaskin.
Okay.
I might be in the middle there. I think Gaskin too.
All right, so these are our last couple boys. Travis Etienne or Robinson or Daryl Henderson.
James Robinson.
James Robinson.
Really? Really? Second,
James Robinson was a machine last year as a rookie. You want to talk about bad year for Daryl Henderson? James Robinson had a phenomenal. He had a better rookie year than Phillip Lindsay, and Phillip Lindsay had a great rookie year.
He's gonna split more carries than
I like ETN. I like ETN in this circumstance only because.
If it's a dynasty league, I'm going to take
Not ETN. Really. I like ETN. I like Najee Harris, but, I mean, not all the rookies. And
yeah.
I'm gonna say this. I think David Montgomery versus Josh Jacobs probably would have been a bigger debate, although between those two, I like Montgomery better still. And then just to James Robinson, Travis Etienne. We've seen James Robinson do it. Like, it's no better litmus test but to be able to turn on the tape of a rookie and have seen him do it already.
And he's like, so durable.
Everything everything else is projection, though. Like, yeah, Travis Etienne, we project him to do this and that. James Robinson just had 1,500 yards out of the Jacksonville.
James Robinson is
a bad team.
He's good trade bait. In real life.
Look, I just like to play it safe. I just feel like Robinson is the safer pick there.
Chase Edmonds or Daryl Henderson Jr.?
Edmonds. Actually.
Yeah. Daryl Henderson Jr. I'm going Daryl Henderson Jr.
Same.
You know, James Conner, so peep this. James Conner, there was a stat I saw last year. James Conner was one of the better backs running the ball out of shotgun formation, out of spread personnel. He was one of the better backs, either in the league or throughout his career or something like that. Well, obviously, Arizona spread it out. They went and they signed James Conner. So I think that's going to be a running back by committee.
You James Conner or Daryl Henderson?
James Conner.
Daryl Henderson still. Because what I was going to get to is you got a running back by committee, but then you got to account for the 10 rushing touchdowns that Kyler Murray is going to have, too. And because of that,
that's real. Yeah. No, that's real. All right. I don't think there's anyone else in contention there for running. Okay, last one. Mike Davis, Daryl Henderson Jr.
Daryl Henderson Jr.
Daryl Henderson because of age. Mike Davis, like 28, I think.
Yeah, but not a lot of churn on the legs.
Enough churn.
Enough churn that
his legs are as big as me.
All right, one last one because this one's actually interesting because he's a rookie. Javonte Williams or Daryl Henderson Jr. Now remember, Melvin Gordon is still Williams. In the back.
Javonte Williams. I'm done.
I want Williams.
Over, but he's got Melvin Gordon.
I don't care.
Melvin Gordon
start,
last year.
He'll be starting by week six.
Bro, you're talking about a back that's going to be the lead in the second most red zone touches.
I would send Melvin over to L.A. for something.
Yeah, I see. I don't know. I'm not as cut and dry.
I'd send Royce Freeman too. Hey, you want Royce Freeman with Melvin?
As you guys on that. I mean, yeah. I don't. Daryl Henderson's situation is still like much better. So
yeah, much better.
I mean,
I agree with that too. I think y'all caught up in some rookie hype there.
Like if there's
three running backs in this particular situation that we're talking about here: Travis Etienne, Najee Harris, Javonte Williams. We didn't talk about Najee Harris, but those are the three running backs clearly that are gonna be the ones to look for to take over a backfield. Melvin Gordon is prime for that.
Najee Harris was the only running back that went to like an ideal situation, right?
And especially it's not even that ideal. Their offensive line sucks.
Right, their offensive line sucks, but at least we know he's going to get the line share of the carries.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Whereas you had Travis Etienne go to a team who just had a back put up over 1,500 yards.
But the one,
you know,
two
from scrimmage.
There's opportunity and then, there.
Yeah, no, it is. It's
not volume for fantasy, though. Mm-hmm. Volume for fantasy will suck if Robinson continues, because he's a good receiver, too. He proved to be a good receiver out of the backfield. But ETN could be on the field at the same time. We had that discussion before, and I think that's what they want to do.
That's what fantasy's about, man. Boy.
Y'all see your boy Tom Brady yesterday at the White House just cracking jokes?
Trolling.
Soaking it up. Soaking it all in. He looked
marketing. It's a marketing event, man.
Oh, yeah. He knows, it was great. He knows.
Look,
trolling the president. He was like, he said, I don't think... a lot of people, like 40% of the people, think that we won. You know what I'm talking about, Joe?
That's funny. Yeah, that's funny.
I mean, Tom Brady had jokes yesterday. That was good.
It was smooth. He looked like a freaking douchebag with his haircut and the sunglasses.
This new Tom Brady, I love it. And you know what? I had an epiphany yesterday just thinking about it. I think Tom Brady is the way he is now. I think this is 20 years of just built up. Just like, man, come on, Bill. Let me say it, Bill. And Bill's like, no, Tom. No, no.
Yes. Yeah,
the Patriot
it
way.
It's crazy.
And now...
Or
and
just
now
we could have had shit talking, joking Tom Brady for like 20 years, and Bill Belichick
but
kept us from him. Fuck you, Bill.
But Tom Brady had been conditioned that way for 20 years. So even when he first got to Tampa Bay, that was still him. But then Bruce Arians, you hear Bruce Arians been talking hella shit since the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So Tom Brady's like, you know what? F it.
He's like leadership starts up here. It trickles down. I'm just following the leader. CJ, I'm with you on this. Like, this personality that Tom Brady has is electric. It's fun. Like,
more sense that him and Gronk were best friends now. Because like Brady's
that's
just
true. That's true. Tom Brady's also still a frat boy.
Yeah, for sure.
That's hilarious.
This is probably how Tom Brady really was the whole time. You just never got to see it, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll never, like, behind the scenes with his teammates, this is why everybody probably likes him.
Bill Belichick is the worst. Let's put it out there. Greatest coach of all time, but to keep us from this treasure of a man, Tom Brady. Everyone thought Peyton was the fun one. It's been Tom the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
It's because Peyton knew Tom, too. He's like, Tom's so fun. I got to get this while I can.
Yeah. All right, boys. Well,
Tom Brady.
Welcome to 5-Tool Trivia. Oh, yeah.
In 2011, what team broke the NFL record for total scrimmage yards in a season, while also not having a guy rush for more than 700 yards that season? I told you I was going to turn up the volume on y'all this week. I'm going to read it again. In 2011, what team broke the NFL record? I only see one hand, Nate. Why do I only see one hand, bro? Like, see, come on. In 2011, what team broke the NFL record for a total scrimmage yards in a season while also not having a guy rush for more than 700?
Look at his little chubbies.
Yards that season. And Brandon, I'm gonna let you go first.
Oh, of course you are.
I got an answer to
you. I'm gonna let you go last. All
That's
right.
a good idea.
Woody, I'm gonna let you go first.
I think he's New England. If it's not New England, it's Indianapolis.
See, look, there we go with the if it ain't New England, it's Indianapolis. So, all right. But, so, what he says is New England, or it's Indianapolis.
Guys, the Washington football team.
Hey, look, oh, it's not a big deal, Nate. I've heard you say worse. Brandon.
I don't know the Rams. Who knows?
No, they had Marshall Faulk, bud.
Not in 2011.
Not in 2011.
Right. Y'all made me turn up the volume on y'all, and unfortunately, all y'all are super duper wrong.
Steelers.
Like, not even close. I thought y'all would. I don't know, man. I thought. I don't know.
It wasn't the Patriots who they had when. That was when they had Randy, right?
It was the second Randy year of Randy, wasn't it?
It was the second year, Randy, and I believe the first 2010 year were bigger.
Yeah.
You ready? You ready for the answer?
I know.
The answer was the New Orleans Saints.
Ooh, nice.
They finished that season 13-3. They finished the season on a 7-game win streak as well. During that same season, let's see, I got the stats here.
Did they win anything?
Wasn't that when like Sammy Morris came in at the end of the year too, or somebody? It was like a
no. So their backfield was comprised of Mark Ingram, who was a rookie.
Yeah, that's right.
He actually finished the season with 474 rushing yards. Pierre Thomas, from Woody. Where Pierre Thomas went to
college?
School?
Oof, da-da-da-da. I used to.
Brandon, you ought to know this.
Is it Louisville?
I might be wrong. I'm pretty sure he went to Illinois.
I'll look it up. Keep going.
Okay.
And then Darren Sproles was kind of the star of the offense because he had an immaculate year that year. He had 600 yards rushing while averaging 7 yards per carry, but he also had 86 catches for 710 yards and 7 touchdowns. And then you also had Jimmy Graham, who went over 1,000 yards, and Marcus Colston, who also went over 1,000 yards. So this Saints team was loaded and put up some points.
Yeah. University of Illinois, good call.
Good job.
Gave y'all like a level 6 today, you feel me? Last week, I think, was a level 3 or 4.
He was
y'all
home
have
grown.
Been getting them right. Yep.
Nice. Homegrown.
All right. Well, that's going to take us into the NFL top 10 on offense. We covered the defense so far, ESPN's rankings, and if we're going to do offense, we must start with the quarterbacks. So let's dive right in. Number one overall, and these rankings are done by NFL GM and front office officials, talent evaluators, and it's a consensus ranking. They add all the rankings up, and this is how they get the numbers. Number one overall. Y'all already know who it is. Who is it?
Dak Prescott.
Homer.
It's Patrick Mahomes.
Yep. Then we have number two, reigning MVP. Obviously Aaron Rodgers.
Someone
was bold enough to rank him fourth.
I mean, talent is bundled at the top. I would put Josh Allen too. Personally,
I would look.
I gotta see another year after they got tape on him.
Someone would have to tell me why Aaron Rodgers deserves to be ranked ahead of Tom Brady in anything.
He's the reigning MVP.
No.
That's a bad excuse. Tom Brady also had a career year last year. At 40.
And he has like 20 of them. He has like 20 MVPs.
I think he's only got 3, but sure.
Yeah, 3, 20, same thing. He has multiple.
He has more than Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers, each Super Bowl is like an MVP trophy and a half. So.
That's true.
Yeah. That's fair. Then they have Tom Brady at 3. Man, Brady's 43. Like, remember when we saw Vinny Testaverde at 40 have one good year with the Jets back in the day? And
it's wild.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Brady's
crazy, man. And you know what? Brady literally has, I'm pretty sure we've said it on, he has the perfect life. He's going to retire in a year with tons of rings, the GOAT in the greatest sport in America. And he has the hottest woman in the world.
Is she still?
I mean, bro, she's up there. If you were ever once regarded as that, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's...
Number 4 overall. Who do you think they got here?
Probably Josh Allen. Russ. I think Russ should be here.
Russ. Yeah, okay. Russ should. I agree. You know Russ is 32?
Yeah, bro, and we get no.
Wow, I still remember watching him in preseason his first game, just running around, scrambling for a bunch of yards, like, yo, who is this kid?
Yeah.
Russ, he should just still be up there. Hopefully they give him a little bit of protection. Number 5 overall, got Josh Allen. Funny enough, someone ranked Russ at number 9 in these voting.
Man. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's
like what game you watching?
Woody, you also got to let the people know that this list it's omitting Deshaun Watson because of what he's his
because he might not play this year
stuff right here. Exactly.
Yeah. But that has is it really?
He would be on here by now, right?
Yeah, he would probably be number.
Does it say that though on the? Because I was wondering when I looked at it.
He's not on here, so I'm imagining.
I'm telling you what I know. I'm telling you what I know.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's not guilty of anything yet.
It's right? The insider CSPN giving us the scoop.
What? Yeah, yeah.
Like, I still think he
Jeremy
plays.
Jeremy Fowler said that he's redacted from this list because of that.
Who's Jeremy Fowler?
From ESPN.
You know a guy that works at ESPN?
He don't want to put these rankings together.
I know.
I was like the second annual year of this.
Yeah. And you know this dude?
Oh, in real life, no.
Oh, there's an editor's note on the article. It says it right here.
See, look.
Okay, there we go. I was like, how come we didn't know this?
He was like, damn, man, he been holding out. Yeah, I got a whole nother podcast with, you know, a million subscribers.
Josh Allen, number 5. After the season he had last year, if he can put two of those together, he's gonna be number 3, maybe number 2 next year.
All right, number 6 is controversial.
Question, before we get to number 6, do y'all think Josh Allen makes another leap?
Yes.
No. I think that's where we're going to see him.
I think you're going to watch Josh Allen overtake Patrick Mahomes in the next 3 years.
Wow.
I think that
you heard it here first.
I think there'll be probably 1, 2, and 3 with somebody else for the next, with Mahomes being number 1. I don't know who's going to be number 3.
Yeah. All right. Then we got Josh Allen, lowest ranked, is number 9. Too. Who votes?
Body of work. Like, yeah, look, no, that's true. I can make a justifiable argument for him being number 9. He's nowhere near number 9 on my list, but I could say, hey, body of work, he didn't give me 1 year, and he only gave me that 1 year because they gave him Stephon Diggs.
That's true.
I think Justin Herbert could be that. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Keep going.
I was going to say that the 1, 2, 3 conversation down the road, it could be a conversation of Mahomes, Herbert, and Allen.
Yeah, that's the 3, right? So out of all the youngsters right now, because the rookies, like maybe Trevor Lawrence will be up there, we'll see. But out of all the youngsters right now, like the next class, it's looking like is Herbert, Mahomes, and Allen. That's the tier.
And then pick one of these other rookies to maybe add in there. Maybe Trevor Lawrence is the guy, or Zach Wilson, or Justin Fields.
And Deshaun Watson was up there as well, correct?
He would be. Yeah, I mean, in my mind, he's top 5, easily. Yeah, top 4.
So number six, we have
Big Sweetie. This, you can't listen to this episode.
This one, I'm actually a little surprised. I feel like they're doing a couple people dirty here. I think he should definitely be further down the list. We have Matthew Stafford at number six.
Whoa.
Yep.
That's a it just sounds like that.
Like Watson would have probably been in there.
Yeah, I feel like Stafford being at six is more so a projection.
It is. It literally says that. NFL and to think scouts. The friends of Sean McVay boost doesn't apply to just coaching. So Stafford is getting the boost because he's going to a great offensive minds, which is true. I think we're like losing a little perspective, like how much better Matthew Stafford is than Jared Goff. And I think we might see that really this year. He could have like an insane year.
Yeah. Good. Excited. Especially without Akers.
But let me tell you what, I don't care how insane of a year he had, I would have taken Dak Prescott before Matthew Stafford, who's sitting at number seven.
Yep.
Me too. Dak has
my number one fantasy quarterback this year, I think.
Wow.
That's a bold prediction.
Yeah. I picked him in the second round in LSG.
That's also a bold pick. I don't know if anyone's like taking a quarterback that high.
Throwing some smoke screens out there.
Lowest ranking on Dak, though. I'll do it. 14. What league are these dudes watching? It's crazy.
No, look.
He's coming back from a literal ankle shattering season.
Yeah. It's true.
Look, Dak's not. Dak is like. I don't know. He's just not. He's not everybody's flavor, and so I could justify, even though whoever put him at 14, I would probably tell him they're dead wrong, but I could see why, I guess some fans or some front office personnel aren't huge fans of what
I mean. Dak. He was pacing 6,000 yards last year, I think. So
he was, and then he broke his ankle. But like when you look at his completed seasons. And, I mean, granted, his QBR has always been good. I think he's a great quarterback. But I could see someone saying, he just doesn't get us over the hump. I don't think he's that great. He has great leadership, but just maybe the actual talent. I think some people may think that's missing. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you watch him throw, you don't say... When you watch Tom Brady, you say, man, the way he navigated the pocket and the way he changed the play at the line of scrimmage, whatever adjustments he made, man, he's great. When you see Josh Allen, you say, man, the way he can extend plays and run around and make every throw in his arm. And you say the same thing about Patrick Mahomes. But then when you get to Dak, everyone talks about the intangibles, right? The leadership. They never talk about his talent, and that's because he's not as talented as a lot of these other guys on this list. Let's be honest. But Dak does have that it. Whatever it is, Dak has that.
No, that's true.
Well,
now number eight, ex-MVP, only 24 years old, Lamar Jackson. Highest ranking on the list, number five. Lowest ranking on the list, unranked.
I can justify five.
I can justify five. I can justify three. But, like I can't justify unranked. That seems a bit nuts.
If you're looking at him from...
Probably some purist going, I'm looking at a quarterback who throws the ball.
Hey, look. That must also be the guy that put Russ 9.
True.
I mean, honestly, I
could make Lamar... Being nine.
Lamar should be top five. And honestly, when you're looking at this list after what happened last season, I feel like you have to put him at five. I feel like you can't put him any lower than that. I feel like you probably can't put him any higher than that because, look,
put the team on his back. Does.
Right. And, I mean, him as a passer, waiting for him to make that jump, he hasn't necessarily made it for whatever the reasons may be. And so, obviously, that's why he's getting slighted on this list. But I could only slight him to five, honestly, because, look, He has something that Dak and Stafford don't have, an MVP.
That's true.
And to be quite honest, I mean, outside of not really getting it done in the playoffs, other than the one win that he has, that's really the only thing that he hasn't done, right? He's just got to get to at least an AFC championship game and maybe even to the Super Bowl. Does he have to win one to prove that he's a top five quarterback? I mean, does Aaron Rodgers win every single time he gets close?
Yeah, we got him at two. You're right.
Yeah, that's a good point. Number nine overall, Justin Herbert, highest ranking number six, lowest ranking unranked. I don't see how you could unrank Justin Herbert after rookie season he had.
I think people are just skeptical.
Yeah.
They're weirded out by the success.
Well, it almost seems too good to be true, and he was in a market where people, like, the Rams dominate L.A. Like, there's no Chargers fans in L.A. Like, you still got Chargers fans in San Diego.
Wait, well, you got you. You're a Charger fan.
Correct. I'm just talking about the general consensus.
It looks like it looks like he's compared to Josh Allen on this list as well.
Compared to Josh Allen?
Yeah. He and Josh Allen are very similar. That's the way the league is going. Yeah, the prototype, a veteran NFL quarterback, huge arm, can stand bold in there and throw. Sorry. No, you're fine.
Want to hear a bold prediction? Justin Herbert will have a better career than Josh Allen.
Nate, what do you think about that?
Josh Allen has 10 years in this league, max.
Wait, what about Josh Allen?
He has 10 years in this league, max.
Because of how much he runs.
So you're gonna, I want to be clear to our listeners. You're gonna say Josh Allen, you're gonna say Justin Herbert with the rookie. He had an all-time rookie season.
He's going to have a better career than Josh Allen. Well, let me finish.
I just want to confirm, after one season of having a great year, you're going to say that he is going to be better than Josh Allen, who is clearly make an argument that he's going to be he's a top five quarterback currently, where Josh Allen every season has improved both statistically and with the eye test. You're going to Justin Herbert over Josh Allen.
He improved every year, Nate, but if you go by that logic, like, he started off terrible. His stats his rookie year, terrible. His second year,
I agree, but
Justin Herbert put up similar numbers to what Allen's putting up now as a rookie. So the logic
is this Herbert's ceiling, or is there a greater level?
You have to think greater level.
If there is, then holy cow.
I don't have to think anything.
I
want to see another year. I want to see another year of Justin Herbert before I start saying that he's going to be a guaranteed top five talent in the NFL at the quarterback position for the next decade. But I will say that Josh Allen came into this league needing development. He's gotten that development. It's showed consistency in improving both his decision-making and his throwing ability and ability to manipulate the pocket year after year.
And Stephon Diggs. Yeah, there we go.
But he had a rising season without Stephon Diggs, and his best receiver was John Brown the year prior.
He was better. Look, I'm not
coaching.
You're arguing as if I said Josh Allen will have a great career. I think Josh Allen's good. I think he's the real deal. But what he kind of alluded to it after I made my bold statement. Josh Allen. Him just like, yo, he's reckless, man. Next week, I'm gonna do my research over the week, and I'm gonna give you guys a list of guys who we can consider not true pocket passers, and we can look at their injury history and the longevity of their careers, and we're gonna see a fall off. Like Tony Romo, if Tony Romo could have played another 7-8 years, Tony Romo might have a Super Bowl. Because he had that type of talent. But guess what? When you're doing all the stuff you're doing, running outside the pocket, getting hit, breaking your collarbone, same thing with Aaron Rodgers. Now we see him sit in that pocket for as long as he can now. So unless Josh Allen changes his game and hones in, he has great ability. But sometimes, that can be your greatest weakness. And we've seen him take some hits, man. He's a warrior. But you can't take those hits forever. And for that reason, and I think Justin Herbert's the real deal too. I think both of them the real deal. I just think Justin Herbert plays longer, so I think he's going to have a better career.
How much do you think Josh Allen weighs?
250.
They're both
I think he's about 250. I know he's 6'5".
Yeah, Herbert is Cam Newton. Herbert's a a tank, and Herbert runs as well too, guys. You don't want to forget about that factor. Yeah, he can run.
He does.
He's not doing it though, primarily.
Smart runner. He's a smart runner. He's a slider. He's not going to put himself at risk. Like, he learned that
Josh
at Oregon.
Slides now.
Like Josh Allen took significantly
Josh Allen
less.
Is also
risk
a hero new near the goal line though. That's where he
now,
takes
hero. Based on what you read research wise, he's not going to run as much. That's
Josh
their
Allen.
Goal.
Yeah,
correct.
That's the goal.
They drafted Moss to take that goal line job, but he just wasn't that good last year.
I mean, yeah. Zach Moss was injured the first half of that season.
You got to take that next step.
You got to remember, Devin Singletary carried that backfield the first half of that season.
And not very well either.
I'm
you
aware.
Might call it carry.
Exactly.
Limped.
Now, this is the one where I'm surprised he's this low on the list, but I guess who do you move him above? Kyler Murray ranked at number 10, highest ranking 8th, lowest ranking unranked.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with him at 10. I'd be okay with him being unranked and not even being on this list. He had a great year last year. You project him to improve and, you know, do even better. So
he's being blamed in this article for the back half of the season, right? He had a 57 total QBR over the season's final 7 weeks. Here's the point. No, but here's the point. Not even the health
shoulder
factor. It's the offense, guys. I mean, like we've already discussed, we gotta look at the offense. We gotta look at the creativity factor and the ability for teams to just focus on Hopkins. And now I think that they're between a rock and a hard place offensively. They have to be more creative this year or else the regime is going to change. And like I said before, you better go get the OC up there in Buffalo, bring him down.
Yep.
Because Kyler would flourish in that same system.
That's true.
Yeah.
Brian Daboll.
That'd be fun to watch. I like that. Yeah. All right. So also quarterbacks receiving votes in the top 10. Matt Ryan. People still throwing Matty Ice up there. Someone voted Matty Ice above
any
of those guys.
Out there.
What was Matt Ryan's lowest ranking? If you don't say unranked,
all
of these front managers need to be fired.
It doesn't say because he was outside the top 10.
Yeah.
I tell you what. Matt Ryan might be the number one quarterback in fantasy next year.
That could be.
I mean, seriously, that defense is probably gonna be worse than what it was last year. And you don't really have much of a run game. We might see something where, like, Matt Ryan might set records in pass attempts, yards. I mean, there's also a chip on his shoulder, too. We always talk about the chips on these other guys' shoulder. Everyone forgets about Matt Ryan. You know, everybody. Since the Super Bowl, and he's consistently put up good numbers. I mean.
So I'll make sure to pick him in LSG probably, like, what?
Hey, do whatever you want.
Whatever
hey, look, I
got
an A, a B,
CJ,
a C. Oh, we're picking beside each other. That's the worst.
Y'all gonna be sniping each other all draft.
Hell yeah, man.
Derek Carr made the list for some reason and also received
honorable mention.
Yeah.
I don't hate that. I think Derek Carr's smart. I think
this guy Kirk Coupons or Cousins.
Kirk Cousins.
Should be a coupon.
He actually did make the honorable mention list. He's a good player. He's easy to nitpick, but he's productive and great for that system.
Do y'all remember
system.
What I said last year?
System.
I said Kirk Cousins, Jimmy G, Jared Goff, all in the same tier, but I'll put Kirk Cousins at the top of that tier, and this is kind of verifying that.
Yep, there you go.
The Viking. Never mind. Moving on.
Go ahead.
No. I'm not taking the bait.
I can't believe that. Carson Wentz is a far better quarterback.
17-week NFL season speak for itself. And I could be wrong, but everyone knows where I stand on Kirk, and only he's the one. There's only one person in the world that can justify my belief in that. That's Kirk Cousins. So
I don't know.
17.
Do they still have Dan Bailey? Do they still have Dan Bailey? Minnesota, the kicker.
Dan Bailey.
You don't know Dan Bailey?
I don't think he plays in the NFL anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. He's blaming him for some L's last year.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Whoa!
Big Ben is rated ahead
like
of
they, like, all right, Kirk Cousins. I'm going to go on record right now. But
no!
For real, they're going to put Big Ben and the honorable mention list, but some idiot had Lamar Jackson unranked. Like, yeah. Whatever these guys were smoking, I want some. Because that shit's good.
Me too.
Hey, it's nepotism. I'm telling you, the guys in this in these front offices, look,
CJ, I'm with you. They're like Big Ben is a half step away from noodle arm, can't throw more than 10 yards down the field. Peyton Manning, Denver Broncos. And honestly, hey, look, Big Ben could win the Super Bowl this year with that. Like, that's the crazy thing. You could see the Steelers going to the Super Bowl with that defense.
Hey, honestly, look, this is how I feel. This is how I feel. I feel that if you put Kirk Cousins on the Steelers, I think they get worse.
What?
Are you kidding me?
Bro.
All right, you know what?
I see what CJ's saying here because the Steelers don't run a play action system.
Fine. Nate, this is what I need you to do. I need you to get him on the show. You're so convicted. I need you to get him on the show. Is this your cousin or something?
No.
See, a homie. Have you shaken his hand before?
I just think that the new offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, what they're trying to do with play action with him and all the motion and movement and stuff would fit. Last year's system, not so much.
Here's the thing we forget. And we may not forget this. But and I know we're spending too much time on Kirk Cousins already, so I'll just leave it at this, and then I'll be done.
Jared Goff is next.
Whatever. I don't care. He's on the Lions. Go Jared Goff. Win us a Super Bowl. Yay. Rah, rah, rah. Kirk Cousins has only had the same OC in back-to-back years and the Vikings one time. It's been a new system every year he's been there until this year with Clint Kubiak. 2 years in a row. So I know everyone's wants to pick apart Kirk and pick apart how he plays. Not only has the defense degraded as since he's gotten there, but he's also had to pick up a new offense every year until this year. I expect this year the Vikings offense to actually fire on all cylinders.
Ooh, that stat gets me a little bit more excited about Kirk. Fantasy players at the end of your draft.
That's cool. But you know what? I need to see Kirk be able to look. You're a franchise quarterback. I need to see you put the organization on your shoulders. Not forever.
Beat the Saints. Beat the Saints in New Orleans in the playoffs.
Like, bro, come on.
He did throw the game winner to Rudolph in the end zone. It was a nice pass.
And he had to lead the drive down to tie the game. But I guess that's not putting the franchise on his back.
But let's be fair, that's the only time he's ever shown up in the playoffs.
He's been in the league for 10 years. He just gave me one moment.
Okay.
He's been in the league for 10 years.
I mean, I could give you several moments, but let's just move on.
All right, and I can neutralize them with several other moments that aren't so good on Kirk's behalf. When the tough get going, the going get tough. I don't believe in Kirk Cousins here, man. I don't believe in him right here. It's not skill. It's not talent. It's right here. He doesn't have that Steel City mentality to go to Pittsburgh and lead a team like that anyway. That's why I think they're a worse team.
Hey, it's okay.
I don't even know where the hell I'm at anymore. I'm lost.
Ryan Tannehill makes the list. Solid, good play-action quarterback. Joe Burrow.
He would make Minnesota such a better team. Tannehill?
He has a case to be top 10 on this list. Ryan Tannehill? Yeah, for sure.
No, I'm being sarcastic. I feel like very similar. Tannehill's good, though.
The past two years, statistically, he's been a top five quarterback.
His efficiency.
The last 2 years?
Yeah. When he has a good running game, so actually Minnesota would be a good fit for him with Dalvin Cook. Joe Burrow, he slides in the list. How he stands in the pocket, even though he knows he's going to get smacked, really impressive. It's hard enough to play as a rookie. I couldn't imagine running an offense and having full control like he does. Veteran NFL tight end. Baker Mayfield slided in on this list. I used to be the biggest believer in Baker after his rookie year, and now I've fallen so far back. I like what he did in the second half last year, but I watched a lot of Browns games in the first half last year, and I saw some of the worst throws I'd seen in the NFL. And he played way better in the second half. I just need to see him put it all together for one season.
Yeah, to be fair, I know you were a believer in Baker Mayfield, but to be fair, you was a believer in Jared Goff up until a few days ago, so.
Woody, are you still a believer in Jared Goff?
I said
up until a few days ago, yeah.
He was a good enough quarterback to win a Super Bowl. That's what I said.
Yeah, up until a few days ago.
I never said he was like a top 10 quarterback.
Good enough until he met Billy Belichick in the Super Bowl. Oh, man.
Kirk Cousins isn't good enough to win a Super Bowl.
He's not going to.
No.
Unless he's on the Steelers.
Carson Wentz slid in as the last person on the list, and I think that's based off of, on the honorable mentions, based off of him reuniting with Frank Wright. Yeah,
I like sounds it. Right.
All I right.
Hate
that. Like, that's such a, like, I mean, Stafford got to six. We're sliding into...
Yeah, yeah, but Matthew Stafford never looked like he forgot how to play the position of quarterback. He just played for the Detroit Lions.
Oh,
Carson Wentz probably just lost interest.
Carson Wentz last year, in my opinion, was a bottom five quarterback.
Yeah, you could argue that, but...
And at times, it didn't look like he deserved to be under center at all.
But I think that a renewed optimism... Have you ever quit a job or left a job, guys, and then you go to a new company and you're just reinvigorated by everything and you're motivated and you're doing really good? Think about it from that perspective. You just left a company where, oh God, everything was shitty.
Let me be clear.
Didn't like it.
I hope Carson Wentz is not as broken as I believe he is. I hope he does well in Indianapolis. I hope Indy made the right choice in trading for him. I just don't believe that's the case.
Do you really hope that?
Yeah. I don't think Carson Wentz is a bad guy.
Yeah, I know. But I know how much you like being right. So I feel like you would hope that happened that way when we came.
Honestly, CJ.
Like, hey, I told you guys.
Honestly, CJ, nothing would make me happier than Woody being right about Jared Goff. If Jared Goff led the Detroit Lions to Super Bowl and won, I'd be happy to be wrong.
I mean, it would be arguably be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Sean McVay's coaching. On the Rams, with Sean McVay's coaching.
Well, let's clarify later. Whatever. Like, CJ, I'd be more than happy to, if Kirk Cousins has a terrible season this year, doesn't show up in big moments, I'd be more than happy week 17 to be like, you know what, guys, I was wrong about Kirk Cousins. No excuses. He didn't show up. He had another year. Like the one thing I have to lean on right now is new OC every year. That's his last straw. That's the last trick. Like, show up. You've been given all the tools. Put up more points than the other team. Let's go. CJ, put it on wax. If Kirk Cousins doesn't show up end of the season next year, I will apologize to all three of you for wasting days of your lives on Kirk Cousins.
I want you to eat an entire lemon whole on video.
Sure. All right. Live. If I'm wrong about Kirk Cousins and he doesn't make the playoffs, the Vikings aren't showing up to play, I will eat a lemon live in air. All
right. Devontae Adams, number one. Controversial.
It is. Like it should be D-Hop.
I think it's a little disrespectful.
It's very disrespectful.
Body work. Devontae he's been too hurt, hasn't put it together but like 2 years. Elite numbers.
Well, right. Look, the thing about D-Hop is he's a true X receiver. You put him anywhere on the field, which, look, let's be honest. The places he's been, they usually don't move him around. They usually line him up on the left side. The opponent's best cover guy, he sees him every week.
Every play.
They don't play any games with D-Hop. They don't do any route combos. They don't do any rub routes. They don't... You know, scheme him open. It's mano a mano, and he
dominates.
Produces every week. So, from that standpoint, I think it's D-Hop.
He's in his peak too. He's 28 now, too. So he's not as young as a lot of people think he is, because he took a little while to develop.
Yeah.
His lowest ranking was 4.
Number two, Nuck Hopkins. Highest ranking one, lowest ranking seven. Whoever ranked him that low should be fired. That's insane.
Probably the same guy that ranked Lamar Jackson at nine.
I think that guy's just racist.
Or unranked.
Probably the same knuckleheads that passed on some of these guys in the draft.
So, yeah, I mean, probably.
What the hell?
So we don't even need to waste too much time talking about DeAndre. I think he's the best wide receiver in the NFL. He's been doing it now for almost a decade.
Look, the what we can say about the first two is they got the first two right.
Yeah.
I think they should switch the order.
They got the first three right. Stephon Diggs slides at number three, highest ranking two, lowest ranking eight. I think it's you could take any of those three right now.
Yeah.
And you'd be fine.
I mean, yeah, it's time to give Stephon Diggs his
after last year, welcome to the party. He's up there. You gotta
We've seen him do it in different ways too. We've seen him do it with like just being like a chunk guy when he was kind of the complimentary piece to Adam Thielen. You know, we saw him kind of be a deep threat, and then we've seen him be the guy, you know, one time in Minnesota and then obviously in Buffalo. So
lowest ranking was eight. Also the youngest of the three, too. So Stephon still is. Here's a good question, especially for fantasy. Last year we saw what Stephon Diggs. How many receptions did he have? He had
127
targets.
Yeah, 127 catches, 1,500 yards. Do we see another level from Stephon? Because he's hitting his peak now, 28, 29.
No, I think he has similar numbers to
last year.
Last year, yeah.
I'd see him taking a step down, too. And yeah, they brought in...
go backwards a little bit, but still, it's not bad.
Hey, who owns the record for most receptions in a season?
I can hear you chewing.
Oh, my bad.
Who owns the record for most receptions in a... in a season?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it's Welker now, right?
It's 143, I think, is the number. I think it's AB, but I'm not sure.
It was probably Michael Thomas, guys, when he had like
285,000
targets.
Yeah. It might be Michael Thomas with 143, actually.
Wait, so you mean Slant Boy?
Slant Boy Mike.
Sounds about right.
Coming in at number four, Tyreek Hill.
So disrespectful.
That is pretty disrespectful.
Wait.
He should be number three.
Oh.
I'd rather have Tyreek Hill over Stephon Diggs.
Nah, I'd rather have...
and Davante Adams.
You know what? Me too, but that's not what this list is.
Yeah.
What is this list?
Stephon Diggs is a better receiver.
Tyreek Hill affects the game even without catching the ball.
And that's why we would rather have him. But if it's third and nine... and you need a play.
I can lean on him.
I take Tyreek Hill.
You can lean on Tyreek more.
No, you
can't. He's gotten better at that. You have to admit he's gotten
better at that. But you can't. You can't lean on. Like,
I mean, he did it in the Super Bowl. They needed that big play.
No.
I can see your argument, though, CJ, a little bit.
Look, it's third and 10. It's no scheming somebody open. It's mano y mano. Who do I trust? I'll probably trust 10 guys.
Trust Tyreek Hill, the guy that gets open like every play.
No,
but
bro,
Davante Adams can too. He has one of the best releases.
That's obviously schematic.
Like, I think you could all of these guys, you can make an argument for being number one. The first four guys, you can easily make an argument for them to be number one overall on this.
That's true.
I can't wait for this next one. It's great.
It's hard to get them right at this level. It's the top end of the wide receiver class is so bundled.
Number five overall, Julio Jones. Highest ranking number one, lowest ranking 13. Julio's still in the top five wide receiver for you boys. Personally, I mean, y'all know where I'm going with this. Number six overall. Highest ranking 2, lowest ranking 12, Keenan Allen. I would take, at this point in Julio's career, I would take Keenan Allen.
I wouldn't.
I think I'd still take Julio.
Julio should be at 5. I approve this ranking because, I mean, look, we saw him. He had a couple games last year where he had over 150 yards. Maybe more than a couple. Like, he still has it. He just dealt with some hamstring issues. And even if he loses a step... He's definitely premium talent.
Don't be disrespecting Keenan, man.
Bro, I love Keenan Allen.
No, I love Keenan Allen.
But he didn't. Hey, look, neither one of them went over 1,000 yards last year.
Yeah, but Keenan had over 100 receptions.
That's cool. Neither one of them went over 1,000 yards last year.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Would you rather? Let's do it.
Also, we should start making this mandatory. We all get a one.
Either, so,
would you rather per show? I mean, just your own perspective. Would you rather have Julio Jones over Calvin Ridley right now?
I'd rather have Calvin Ridley, but that's based on opportunity.
Okay, and then another one. Julio Jones versus Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson, yeah.
Julio Jones versus Terry McLaurin.
Justin Jefferson, because he's the second year in the same system. He came out of 5 years as a rookie, and Julio's going into a new system. We don't know how it's going to affect.
Right. Could be better for Julio right now, you know?
I think it's going to be action. Better. Julio's going to have a career, man.
I'm such a big believer in A.J. Brown. I don't think Julio's the one there. I think A.J. Brown's the one.
I think it's just going to open shit up for both of them. There's room for them.
Who was your next one?
McLaurin, I think. Yeah, Julio and McLaurin.
My mind tells me Julio, but my heart wants to take Scary Terry.
Wait, no, yeah, y'all need to be consistent because he named Julio versus young guy number one versus young guy number two. So if you're going to take young guy number one and number two,
I've got one guy
number
that,
three.
Let me say one.
Because the only reason you're saying yes is because these guys are significantly younger than Julio. That's the only reason.
I got one. A really good one. Julio Jones versus Allen Robinson.
Ooh. I'm taking Allen Robinson, but it's because Allen Robinson is like that.
Okay.
See, as my biggest thing with older receivers.
Well, you're going to be disappointed with the rest of this list then, CJ, but go ahead.
Fuck that list.
My biggest thing with Julio Jones as he gets older is a lot of older wide receivers, like, they're crafty in the end zone. Like, when Julio loses a step, he's never been an end zone threat, like a red zone threat. He's not going to be like the slower dude posting up, like catching those touchdowns. Like,
it just depends on how they use him, Woody. Like, he was never utilized.
He should be used that way.
You know, he was top 10 in targets.
Hey, yeah, but then that's when we got to go to the advanced metrics and really look at and see how many of those throws were actually on target throws. Because I've seen Atlanta in the red zone. And they'll try to throw it to Julio, but then, like, just schematically, the play just looks like crap. And Matt Ryan throws it at the back of the end zone or whatever. And it if anything, it's a tough catch. I think Julio not being a red zone target is not an indictment on Julio. I feel as though it's more so an indictment on the previous coaching staffs that he's played with and also on Matt Ryan. I mean. Yeah.
I agree.
All right. Next.
Number seven on this list. Only 27 years old. We've forgotten how young in the league he came. He was a very young guy when he came to the league. I believe he was 20. Highest ranking 4. Lowest ranking 13. Mike Evans.
I would slide him down my list, actually.
All right. Well, let's see who his next three are. Michael Thomas, Slant Boy, highest ranking 4. Lowest ranking unranked. Wow. Now the mighty have
fallen. Four?
I'm focused more on the unranked. That's crazy.
No, see, Brandon, we say that now, but that's because we just saw a year where he really wasn't. I mean.
If you're looking at from fantasy volume, maybe. He's going to get that.
So,
with
and then
Brees.
They got DK Metcalf at 9. I'm telling you right now, I'd want DK Metcalf over Mike Evans and Michael Thomas. And probably Keenan Allen, too, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, probably. But, man, again, that's kind of projecting, right? Like,
These are projections for next year.
Okay. I mean, well, if that's the case, DK need to be at, like, number 5 then, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I agree.
I don't know.
Lowest ranking unranked. The most, like, physical freak at wide receiver. Unranked. Coming in number 10.
There's reasons for that. We discussed it in previous shows.
But look, but wait, before we move on, you are right, Brandon. He does have some weaknesses. But we can visually look at the tape and the film and say, this isn't an accident. This is not a fluke. Whereas sometimes you can look at some other receivers and you can say, man, this guy looks pretty good. And next thing you know, it's because circumstances matter, especially when you're playing receiver.
Metcalf could easily be the best receiver in the league tomorrow if he puts it all together.
Yeah,
right. That's true. That's how you have I could grade him and say he's like second tier on the cusp of elite. But if he does this, this, and this, he's the best.
Right.
Period.
That's right.
That's the way you got to look at it.
Do we see Mike Evans finally put it together this year after a year with Brady? Because everyone expect, like, I know CJ and I, we talked last year. We were so excited, like, the Randy Moss effect that he had with Brady. We thought Mike Evans was due for, like, a giant
year. Think he had a bad year, though? Because red zone-wise, he was a boss.
He had a normal Mike Evans.
Crowded receiving core, right?
Yeah.
Like, that receiving core is, there's a lot.
I was expecting, like, Randy-level numbers.
See, look, this is the problem when we look at numbers.
Brady didn't have a Chris Godwin on his team.
This is the problem when we look at numbers. You look at numbers, we look at targets, we look at catches, we look at target rate, we look at catch rate. Mike Evans.
I think CJ said it best.
Mike Evans left. So he's soft. He left so many yards. He left so many yards and probably a handful of touchdowns on the field last year. Yeah. So from that standpoint, he didn't have as good of a year as he should have had. I mean, at all. Watching Mike Evans play at times was super frustrating.
28.1 of his catches went for at least 20 yards.
Only one?
28.1% of his catches went for at least 20 yards.
Oh,
he's a big play guy.
Can I throw out a stat? When Brady needed to find a target inside the opponent's 10-yard line last year, he looked for Mike Evans. In 2020, Evans ranked second only to Davante Adams in targets from or within the opponent's 10. With 14 total targets, Evans would snag 9 of those 14 targets, and all 9 went for touchdowns. Evans managed to crack 1,000 yards as a receiver in 2020 while surrounded by Godwin and Antonio Brown. That is from Football Scout 365.
Who has more receptions this year in that offense?
Mike Evans.
Catches.
What were you saying? Catches overall this year?
Yeah.
I think Godwin is going to be the most targeted because he'll be in the slot probably a lot. And so will Antonio Brown.
I think
they'll be interchangeable. They'll move both of them back and forth. But I do see Brown.
Antonio Brown's the goat in the slot. The goat.
He can play either way. He can play outside.
He's a better outside receiver. I'd rather have him as my X or my Z. And Mike Evans is going to be the X. Chris Godwin, he's a slot. I mean, look, they're all interchangeable. With the exception of Evans, he can't really run in the slot. But you can kind of move them around. They have some versatility. They have some deceptive versatility on that offense.
No, that's true.
I think Antonio Brown's going to have a career revitalizing season this season.
He's not.
I got to write
down
100 plus catches.
So he said, I mean, he's only 32. Gonna have 20 sacks. Right? Now you said AB going to have 100 catches. You said something earlier today, too, that was
Kirk Cousins is gonna have a career year.
I didn't say Kirk Cousins was gonna have a career year.
Yeah, you did.
No, you said all pro. He said all pro year.
I didn't say all pro either, but that's okay. Go back to the tape. I said at the end of the season, I'll apologize to you all if I wasted your time.
You would eat a lemon.
Cousins.
You said Carson Wentz was done. That's what it was.
I mean, that's just consistency.
Yeah.
Nah, I feel that.
AJ Brown.
What am I supposed to do? Backtrack, Meg. You know what? He's with Frank right now. He's gonna be great.
We go.
No,
we're back.
I hope I'm wrong when it comes to Carson Wentz, man.
No, you don't.
At number 10, we have the 24-year-old AJ Brown.
Yes, highest ranking number 3, lowest ranking unranked. Wow. That's where I see AJ Brown. Like, this is the dude. I think it's crazy. AJ Brown is not above Julio Jones for next year.
He's the running back. He's a running back after he catches the football, essentially.
And he mosses people on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean,
he just has to stay healthy. He's starting to give me the vibe of Deebo Samuel a little bit. You know, got to stay healthy.
That's true. That's true.
Scary.
Brandon, aren't you keeping him in one of our leagues?
Maybe. Dude, I got Judy. I could always keep Jerry Judy if I wanted to.
If you had a quarterback.
Yeah.
Make sure if you keep Jerry Judy, you keep
Brandon, you want Nick Chubb?
He found his hands, I heard, in the offseason, CJ.
Hopefully. Because I've been seeing him run routes, but I ain't seen him on no jug machine.
So AJ Brown slides in there. Let's get to the honorable mentions. Now here's where it gets juicy.
Like it's real messed up.
Calvin Ridley, obviously he belongs to be up there. Allen Robinson, few of us
he should be in the top 10.
Yeah, who should he be over?
Jefferson and DK.
Jefferson's not in the top 10.
He's not. Oh well, he's honorable mention. Jefferson should be higher than DK, but I mean, hey.
Yo, I love Mike Evans.
DK shouldn't be in it.
I love Mike Evans, but I'd rather have AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, and Allen Robinson.
Yo, the disrespect is real. You talking about these guys have like one good year and now they're sliding in the top 10 in front of these guys that got a whole body of work. Amari Cooper been in the league, what, 6 years? Has 5 1,000-yard seasons?
Bro,
is he honorable mention?
Amari Cooper isn't even an honorable mention.
See, that's crazy. But OBJ is though, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, come on. Come on. And look, I'm not saying there's probably no one that's as talented as OBJ, but really, like, how do you put someone in the list who lacks production?
Because everyone knows Amari's lazy.
Bro, I mean, look, the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah,
lazy.
He is. He doesn't play hard all the time. That's why that was his knock in Oakland. That's his knock now. I think he burned a lot of people. I mean, he won me a championship, so I always love Amari.
Yeah.
Who did Cooper Kupp? Is he honorable mention?
Yeah, Cooper
Kupp. He shouldn't be. See, that's crazy to me. That's crazy to me. And I like Cooper Kupp. I think he's a good player. But come on, really?
He's not a top 15 receiver in the NFL.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Like, are they judging this off of production or like talent? Because
Bo, it's supposed to be future this year and based off what you've done. So it's it doesn't really make sense. Jarvis Landry is above Cooper. That makes no sense.
Jarvis Landry made honorable mention as well.
Yeah.
Love Jarvis Landry and what he brings to a team.
Same.
On and off the field. But come on, let's be real. Yeah. Let's be real.
Scary Terry's honorable mention.
I'm pretty sure these guys are the ones who picked my fantasy team in Empire Collective.
Adam Thielen.
Makes me feel a little bad.
For good reason. But he's got to stay healthy, stay on the field.
Brandon, I don't know why you feel better. They had a guy in here that didn't list Lamar Jackson as a top quarterback.
Yeah.
No, I know. I'm kidding.
Ex-MVP. Me, I know. Chris Godwin made honorable mentions. He's got the talent, but.
Chris Godwin should be on the list over Mike Evans, in my opinion.
He's got to fix what happened in the playoffs. He dropped so many passes in the playoffs.
Number one for like 7 years. Man. CJ. Nate just said he'd rather have Chris Godwin higher on the list than Mike Evans.
Nah. I mean, look.
Chris Godwin's not soft. He's younger. He's much younger.
Yeah, Mike Evans Mike Evans still has upside. Even at the age of 27, he oozes upside. And that's the crazy thing, to have his body at work and he's still just 27. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a Mike Evans hater. I just think. And I like Godwin.
It is wild that Amari Cooper isn't on this list.
Bro, it's crazy.
It's so disrespectful.
And he's pretty young, too. Amari Cooper's like 20, 27.
25?
Is he 25?
I think he's like 27, though.
He's 25.
He's entering his prime. So there it is, guys. We made it through another episode. As always. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Shout out M Cash Fire on the theme song. And check us out on our socials. Check out the website at the number 5toolsportspodcast.com. And we out.
We out. You gotta start giving us more energy on the closing though.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9 to 5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle.